I want to talk about the holiness of God. Now, the reason I want to talk about the holiness of God is because in the next couple of Sundays, I want to talk about the sanctification of us. Basically saying, you and I, we need to walk in holiness before the Lord. And sometimes it doesn't happen because maybe we do have not exactly a clear understanding of the size of God, the greatness of God, the holiness of God, because it's just maybe, you know, and there might even be some, well, first of all, some people will actually believe that God is only a myth. Others will come as far as say, well, there's an old guy with a long beard sitting somewhere in a place that we don't even know. And we have absolutely a very tiny, small picture of the size or of the greatness and the majesty and the glory and the power and the mercy and the love of God and His holiness. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. First of all, Isaiah went into the temple to pray. And he seated, and he talked from him or about him that he saw the Lord high and exalted. Think about it, what that means. The exaltation of God in a place which is marvelous, incredible, bright, beautiful, perfect, holy, and the list goes on. Anyway, he is high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. Now listen to this. With two wings, they covered their faces. This is important. With two wings, they had six wings. Two of them covered their faces. Why? Very simple. They could not straightly look at God because of the glory. Because of the, not just because he looks about, he must be shining. Yeah, he shines big time. But it's the holiness that kept them from looking. So it says here, they had four or six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet because they thought maybe their own feet were not worthy to actually be seen by God. And with two, they were flying. So they still used two to fly around. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Verse 4, and the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And here is where it comes down to us. Because Isaiah, let's remember this, Isaiah was a guy like you and me. Simple guy in Israel, living probably a simple lifestyle, probably dirty, walking in the desert, feet dirty, walking amongst people of sin or is a sinful people. And he says, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined. I'm ruined. This is it. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." It was a shock for him. I can't believe I actually had a glimpse of God. I saw him and oh my goodness. Now what? I'm going to die here. Now the word holy appears about 830 times in the Bible. And in Hebrew, It meant really to be set apart. And the word holy in Hebrew basically means kadosh. And that's why kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Melohol Aretz Kvodo. Now that's Hebrew. No, that's a bad Hebrew probably. But it means holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. So kadosh, holy, means something that is other or set apart. And it is the exact opposite of something that is common. So, you know, we are talking two extremes here. The one part that is common is one thing, and the one that is completely set apart is something else. So God is in this part. He is completely beyond. And when I was looking into it, in fact, I was trying to find a video about the greatness of God, and He cannot, God Himself, as He created the universe, He made it so big because He is unlimited. Our Milky Way galaxy, which takes about 100,000 light years, and one light year is the speed of light, it takes about 160 miles per second. For you to cross over, that's 1 second of light. It goes 160,000, I think it's miles, not kilometers, or whatever, it might be kilometers. Let's put it for miles. You can check it out yourself. But it's very much. Now think about 100,000 light years for you to fly from one end to the galaxy until the other. That is our Milky Way galaxy. And it's interesting. And in that Milky Way galaxy, we have we have the sun, we have billions of stars, we have all our planets, Mars and Jupiter and all these planets, they're all there. And you come to the conclusion that that whole Milky Way galaxy is a tiny one. It's a small one hanging in the universe. There are way bigger galaxies than ours. In ours, it takes 100,000 light years for you to drive across. So don't even start, okay? Just if you start now, you won't make it till the end. It's just so much. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And the whole world is full of His glory. Now in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, King David is considered a man according to God's heart. And he wrote, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Whether in wealth and honor come from you, you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now our God who gives you, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Now the holiness of God come also back in the book of Revelation. We read from chapter 4, verses 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes, were covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, we are talking angelic beings in heaven flying around the circle of the throne of God, none being able to stop saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh, my goodness, this is amazing. Wow, wow. Oh my. 24/7. They look. It can't be. the holiness of God. Holy, 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 glorious, beautiful, amazing, incredible. That is our God. Now, you and I, we should be starting to seriously look forward to see Him one day. To live in the same city as He. The big city, the New Jerusalem. I'll talk about more about that. Exodus 29, verses 37. For 7 days make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. See, it's interesting that the Lord insists for us to make ourselves ready to meet Him. Has always been like that. In fact, as the Israelites at the time Jesus had not come yet to clear our way towards Him, He was asking the people, consecrate yourself before you even come very close to me because you might die. Because you're dirty. You are sinful people. You cannot face me. I can, if you see me, you disappear. Because my greatness and my holiness is just too much for you to bear. That's why it says in Exodus chapter 29, verses 37, for 7 days you make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. And then the altar will be most holy, and whatever touches it will be holy. So a ceremonial process was happening every time the high priest needed to go into the tabernacle. If he had a bad dream at night, he could not go. So they had to be completely purified. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 5. Very clear example. See, we have David here trying to get the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was between the two cherubim. You know the Ark of the Covenant has this little box that was carried with people. With the big poles on both, one on each side. And as they were carrying, what had happened, the Philistines, they had taken, I think it was the Philistines or some other nation, had taken the ark, and the ark was gone. David had become king, and he said, you know what, I want, one thing I want to bring the ark back to me. So let's go get her. So they went up. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating. You know, this is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 5. And David and all the house of Israel, they were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah, see, they were carrying the ark. Uzzah put his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the ark of God. Uzzah was a good guy, ladies and gentlemen. He was not a bad guy. But he dared to touch the ark. And because the ark at that time was where God's presence was, he touched it, and he wasn't supposed to. He was helping it. He was thinking that, you know, because the oxen, they were stumbling, and it maybe would fall off from the cart. By the way, it never should be even meant to be carried with carts. It was supposed to be meant carried by men on those poles that went through the ark. So he touched it, thinking to help God to avoid that it would fall. And the Bible says, and God struck him dead right there. You came a little too close. I am holy. You are not. You cannot touch. And it was expressly forbidden to touch the ark because it represented God. Number two, we talk about the glory of God. See, not just the holiness and the separateness and the of God, but also God is filled with glory. Now, what is glory? The Greek word here is doxa. And in Hebrew, it is kavod. It could be, because it's like a word that is a little, it's an open concept here, basically. It comes from something you can see. It includes honor and respect. It is also related to heavy armament. There's also the Shekinah glory, and it is used for God's glory when it comes to be felt in the presence and visible manifestations of God to men. You know, we have back in Saskatchewan, we have a Shekinah. It's a youth farm. It's a youth camp, like a summer camp. It's called Shekinah. So there is Shekinah, and there is Ichabod. Ichabod is when the Lord has departed. Shekinah is when the glory of the Lord is present. And if there is something you and I could always do here once we come in, we could ask for the Shekinah or Shekinah. That is, God, please be present. And we are shielded today. We won't, you know, by coming closer to God, you won't die today. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has now covered you. And God sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ who died, who was perfect. His blood has covered your sin. You are no longer considered a sinful, dirty person. In fact, today you and I are considered holy. Saint. You always wanted to be a saint. There you have it. You are a saint. The Pope, sometimes sometimes they consider him his holiness or whatever. But he is just as holy a saint as you are. Under the cover of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are pure. So when you come and when you ask the Lord, God, please be present, come closer, you will be just fine. Because now it is different. We live in the new covenant. We live under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ who took away all our sin. Psalm 19 verses 1 to 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." We have seen that. Just look up when it's not a cloudy day. Out there in the country, you look up and you see the stars, and you see sometimes a star that flies. You see the beauty. You see the moon. The heavens declare the greatness and the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sounds is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. Now we know that the sun is, I don't know how many thousand times bigger than the planet Earth. He put it there. It's hanging there. In the middle of nowhere, there hangs a sun. In the middle of nowhere, there is a planet Earth, which you and I think it's big, because if I drive, and I have driven all the way from Saskatchewan to Ontario, it took us almost 4 days, and we thought, man, there is land and cities on both sides, and lakes. It is a huge country. Now, we think it's big, but think about that. Whole planet hanging at the universe, and it doesn't fall off, it doesn't fall down, because it just hangs there. God put it there. Our God put it there. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. And you know, sometimes we think when we hear preachers say, when we see the word, he does not divide his glory with nobody. Is it because he is jealous? I'd say, I'm the best type thing. Is that what it is? I can assure you, it is not. But the fact of the matter is love. It's about love. If we all of a sudden start looking into different areas other than God, we get lost. Our focus should always be God, the great God. Focus on Him. And when we do so, we will not fall into the error by or worshiping idols. Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 and 25 says this: I did not see a temple in the city. Now, this is talking about once things are renewed. This is the greatness of God. I did not see a temple in the city, talking about the New Jerusalem, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Talking about the New Jerusalem, you know, the capital of heaven, we could call it. It's a big city. Think about somebody that can shine. And we are talking, this city is 2,200 kilometers wide, long, and high. It's like a square box. How in the world can, if the sun will no longer exist, how in the world will there be enough light to bring 2,200 kilometers distance the brightness everywhere? No more darkness. Zero darkness. Think about the immensity of the glory of God. It's unlimited. Psalm 29:2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor, of His holiness. His greatness and majesty. Psalm 145:3-5 says this. And this speaks about the greatness. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can Adam. Think about that. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Now that should be the, in German we would say, the Einstellung of unseres Herzens. I don't even know how to say it in English now. Yeah. This is how our heart should be set. My mind is set to glorify God. It can't be any other way. Because there is no one bigger or better than our God. There is no one more majestic than our God. If we put our effort or our desires towards the things, the rusty vehicles, the homes, we are missing the point. There is no one greater, more majestic and glorious and powerful than our God. I won't be able to finish this today, and that's fine. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 9, we read this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, he put it there. Like that. Think about one day, the Bible says, and he, the Lord, is going to roll up the universe, the stars, the heavens. He's going to roll it up. He's going to do something new. That must be a pretty big hand, a pretty big arm, one could say. He's going to roll up heavens. He's going to push the sun and the moon and the stars and then to a side or something, maybe. I don't know what he is planning, but it's something huge. And he's going to restore this very planet to a perfect state, the same as it was back in the day of Adam and Eve. Perfectness, it's coming. Let me read it again here. When I consider your heavens, when I consider, let's consider the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Yeah. Who are we? We are just a bunch of nobodies. You are not that consequential. You think about global warming. Good luck with that. There will be a heat coming. It's going to be a little more than your exhaust of your vehicle. I can assure you that. So what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than angels. It's getting better here. You have made us a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Because you and I are the only living beings that have the capacity of actually understand a little bit better the greatness of God. He has opened that up for us. He has given us opportunities to decide whether yes or no, whether yes God or no God, still hoping that we would choose him. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. And you put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky. And the fish in the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas, Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As our team comes up here to sing another song, I want you to be mindful of the power and the amazingness and the greatness and the majesty of our God. It is unbelievable, really. But we are led to believe. And I want to encourage you, this is a time not just to see the greatness of our God, but to seriously worship him, to seriously confess and repent. God, if I have been running after other things, I am so very sorry. I want to follow you because I know in the end, if we stick with you until the end, we will be with you. And that beautiful city that is coming down out of heaven one day, glorious, 2,200 kilometers square up high. Think about the high-rise building of 2,200 kilometers. It's amazing. It's amazing what the Lord has for you. And you know why? You made a choice to believe in Jesus Christ, who forgive your sin. Something wonderful is coming your way. Let's worship our Lord, shall we?